Hello, welcome
Safe
back.
things.
Safe tings. Just really quietly saying that in the background. Well,
Sinister.
welcome back to TVI podcast. Carl Donnelly
We
here.
are TVI.
You gonna say your name?
Julian
Okay,
Francis
just
Sting.
Julian. Welcome back to this
Hate
week's
saying my own
episode.
name.
Why?
I don't know how to say it. Am I
Just.
pronouncing it right? Julian. It's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, especially when somebody makes you when I sort of somebody makes you suddenly question it. Do you know what I mean? So now you're like, is it? Am I saying it right? You're saying it right. But anyway, welcome back. This week's episode, we're joined by very funny comedian Josh Pugh. Josh is really funny on Twitter,
He's
and
really
people
funny,
should
yeah.
follow him. Look him up.
He's
We
a
caught
good
up with
guy,
him.
man.
In he's in the is it I've forgotten the name of the town he lives in.
Outside of Coventry,
Yeah, so it's near Coventry. We talk
I
about
believe.
he lives in a town that's got quite a funny sort of annual event. That's one of the ones you'll see on the news. That's like a funny drinking type sporting event. We talk about that in length.
We'll post that little link underneath it, maybe on our Patreon, so
Yeah,
people can see what
see the
why.
madness,
See
but
the mad things.
see the mad things. Quick. Two bits of admin. Number one, thanks to all our patrons who've signed up. Patreon.com/WeAreTVI. We've simplified it. Some people couldn't find the old one.
We are TVI.
This week we shared quite a silly thing, which was a music track that we
Ain't
knocked
nothing
up
silly about that, mate. It was serious, earnest.
of some choice quotes from.
You've got to get the messages out, man. In a fun, it's fun and learning.
It is learning. It's got, you got to, we need to
Every day's a
teach.
school day, mate.
But have a listen if you haven't listened yet. It's good fun. It's a bit of a banger.
We're going to put the banging video on Patreon for a little while, aren't
We
we?
also
The
have an idea. Yeah, I think we mentioned it at the end of
general
this.
release.
We'll basically, if you want to send us a little video on any social media platform of you mouthing along to some of Julian's filthy talk, then we'll knock it into a little video and we'll put it
It's
out.
taken totally in context.
Yeah, there's no out of context stuff here. This Julian meant every word he said. But yeah, send if you want to, that'd be fun. Send us footage of you mouthing along, and I'll maybe splice together a little listener's video. And but yeah, patrons got a they've got a 5-day preview of that before we put it out live. So if you want to sign up, we're going to be doing things like that in the future. You get extra episodes already, little catch ups that we do only for Patreon. But if not, don't worry, we're
Early
still doing the
bird.
normal
It's called
podcast.
early bird is the phrase, is it?
It
Yeah.
is, yeah, early bird.
Catches the worm, mate.
Yeah. Cheers, mate.
Just in case you didn't know the full phrase. That's where it came. It comes from that. Yeah.
Okay, cool, man.
Yeah, I
I didn't
read it
know
in one of my history books.
Right. Anyway, it's a very fun episode. Kick back, enjoy it,
Relax.
share it with your friends if you think they'll like it.
Share it and rate it on iTunes. I did say that in one of the episodes, so I won't bang on up that, but that wasn't this one, so I should shut up. But yeah,
Yeah, we don't.
share it, rate it on iTunes.
We never ask people to rate it anywhere.
I went on iTunes for the first time 2 days ago, and we got some very nice reviews,
I never check
and
that
some
either.
good ratings. But keep them coming because it's nice and it's more listeners. And when you recommend it. Oh, if you want to, don't just call it TVI now, so the vegan word doesn't put those murderers off. You know
Yeah,
what
so
I mean? Just
put
kidding.
those fucking animals off. You're out there killing people left, right, and centre. We want to basically try and lure them in and then trick them.
Then convert them into
Exactly.
Kabbalah.
All right. Kick back. Enjoy. Josh Pugh.
We actually changed in the podcast.
I think
Carl and Julian. How you doing?
Bro, it used to die of AIDS in an alleyway. I'm alright, bro.
There we go. We're back.
I
Carl
feel
Donnelly.
like I'm a MC now since that tune got released.
We haven't released it on. It's not been released yet.
It's
It
not an
will have been
LP
released.
yet.
It will have been released by the time people listen to this episode. So that
So
is
me being in
something.
that car and it going to number one, I might drop that afterwards, innit?
Yeah, probably. Basically, welcome Josh Pugh, guest for this week.
Hello.
Big news is basically after we did an episode with Jake Lambert, the last episode,
during big announcement.
We had quite a funny little chat where we were basically talking about how we might do a sort of a podcast where me and Julian make sex noises for people to listen to. And Julian said some sexual language, which I then took. I took out of the podcast. I made sort of. I took some choice cuts and I turned it into quite a banging house track.
Sampled.
I sampled it. I made a house track called "Gob in My Face" by DJ Bubbles and Slimy J. And it's going to be, we're going to put it out to the world this week. So basically,
oh my God,
listen out for that. It's going to be, we're thinking
it's available on our Patreon right now, as everything is like a week before.
But it's, it will be, by the time people are listening to this episode, I reckon it will be available for public consumption.
Yeah, sometimes I think being able to publish stuff on the internet isn't always a good thing.
I think we're about to prove that, you know, something should stay on Patreon and not be released to the rest of the world.
Yeah. Something should be cancelled.
But for the record, it is an absolute banger, I've got to say.
It's a tune, mate. You might want to get some Mandy in.
Yeah, if anyone listening, he's going to listen to it. You know, drop a pill about half an hour before. And also prepare to listen to fucking Julian saying,
have someone there to
things.
Blow some ket up your ass when the beat drops. Because it's heavy.
Anyway, maybe that's going to be our our new thing might be. No, you know, when you see podcasts, you've got like a out of context Twitter handle where it's just funny little quips they've said that don't make any sense out of context. I think I'm going to release a out of context house techno album. So
I thought about doing a Twitter, you know, like a full context.
Yeah,
so I provide links to articles, everything.
For every joke you've ever made.
PowerPoint.
This is it in full context. There we go.
Where you were when it was written.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The sort of state of mind you were in that allowed for that joke to come.
People can just do all the background reading and then enjoy it. Do you know what I mean?
That's it. Anyway, welcome to the podcast. Where are you? Where are you currently based?
I live in a town called Atherston, if you've ever heard of that. It's like maybe 15 minutes from Coventry.
Yes.
So literally bang in the middle of the country. We're famous for, we have like a Shrove Tuesday ball game. It's what the town is famous for, where basically the throw...
You used the word famous very loosely.
Yeah.
What, the old Shrove Tuesday board game was invented there?
No, ball game.
Ball game.
Yeah, come on, mate. You know it.
Yeah,
mate.
You know it now, mate. Come on.
Oh.
Basically, they throw a ball out of a window on the high street at 3 o'clock and everybody fights for it and whoever's holding it at 5 o'clock. Wins.
Okay. 2 hours fighting over a ball.
You'll get the iPad 2 there and that will sort of take over. we were talking about iPad 1, sorry, just before we...
before we hit record.
Yeah.
That one needs some context, I think.
Full context, Julian.
Twitter, then you'll find...
Josh is on an iPad 1.
But my mate Tommy, one of my oldest mates, like I've known him since school days.
He's 93.
he's currently shielding from COVID. But he's a big, like, he's into beer, you know, like one of them sort of proper beer, camera beer, not like, not craft beer, modern beer types. He's proper, he goes to beer festivals and like around the country. And he's well into all them sort of going to a town that's got a traditional sport and partaking. Like he went to that one where people have to run around with a barrel of hot tar on their back. Like, he just goes to these weird villages and like he's
called shopping, isn't it?
Things, huh?
That's called the Christmas shop.
the one
where they roll cheese down a hill and stuff.
Yeah, there's stuff like that. Then there's a bed race. I think in Yorkshire, where people run with a bed through the streets.
I thought it was going to be like the long
my ex used to do
beds,
that.
Which I think Julian won that during lockdown one.
I might have just witnessed a burglary when I was there. I don't know if it's a traditional thing.
People running around with TVs. I think that's looting.
Yeah. That's good in terms of giving us a feel for the town.
Yeah, it's...
does it get, the 2 hour?
Oh, it's terrible. It's 2 hours, but I think people would do longer. I think they would go longer. It's like It's like the purge and people kind of settle scores. And I've realised if there ever was a purge situation, I'd probably just go somewhere else. Just go to a cafe in another town.
Yeah, exactly. What's like? Who is? Have you ever been part of it?
When I was like younger, when I just left school, and you think you're the dog's bollocks.
I used to
go in, and I remember one year being convinced I was going to win this year. This is my year this year.
Yeah.
And before it even started, a guy stood off a curb and trod on my toe, and I had to go back
to home retire.
Home before it even been thrown out. But yeah, no, I wouldn't go in it now.
I presume it's quite a drunken affair as well.
Yeah, people will go in. If you're serious about winning, you don't go in at 3 o'clock because you burn out. You get your drink until about 22, and then you come out and try and
get ready. You're ready to sort of almost. You're almost bulletproof when you're that pissed as well.
Yeah, that's it.
And what has anyone ever repeat won it? Has there ever been somebody who's...
Yeah, there's a few people that have won it. I think the record's like 6 in a row.
Oh my God. Who is this monster?
The Michael Jordan.
I want to see a documentary about that guy.
Oh, mate.
Documentary on Netflix.
Yeah. I remember I caught the ball once, which just doesn't really happen, but it just kind of landed to me when I was I was a spectator. And a guy kind of running over,
kicked trying it to over the fence.
Yeah, just popped it and said, "That's game over."
Fluid in the muscle.
You need to have a look at yourselves in the mirror.
You ain't getting this back, all right?
This guy tried to like headbutt me. I was like, "Mate, just have it. I'm not even playing. I'm not in this. You know.
Once you're in it, man, he's in the red mist, isn't he? He's sort of.
Yeah. I was an easy target, I think. I was wearing chinos. I think, you know, I wasn't serious.
Yeah, do people like wear not armor, but do people get sort of padded up for it?
I think it's like work boots, jeans, and then like a rugby top or topless. There's plenty of topless people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'd say that's probably your optimum. I'd say oil yourself up.
Yeah, naked as well. Yeah,
I mean, fully naked, I'd say, is the optimum, but then you are going to get your feet stood on by work boots.
Get an absolute rock on.
Yeah,
just running around as owner.
But anyway,
what did you do before stand up, Josh? Didn't you play football?
Yeah, I play football now. I play for my eyes are fucked. I don't know if you could tell. I'm not looking at any cameras on this.
I didn't want to mention it. Yeah.
I play.
Just put a screenshot on Twitter. Just saying.
eyes.
When you say your eyes are fucked, that's obviously. We need some context for this.
I've got a condition. It started when I was a kid, and it just got worse. I'm registered. I think I'm registered blind now, actually, legally.
Oh wow.
But I can see most things. To me, do you know what I mean? I don't really know any different.
Is it like a sort of, not to get into graphic, but is it a deteriorating thing, or is it just something that means you've got impaired vision?
Yeah, so it does deteriorate, but my central vision has deteriorated, basically. What's going to deteriorate has gone, do you know what I mean? Right. So it's not going to get any worse than this.
It's leveled out.
Yeah, so it's like my central vision, so like reading and stuff is difficult. I'm not a reader anyway. So, but it's
giving you a better excuse.
Yeah, it's a ready-made excuse. Yeah.
I might have that then. what glasses can't help or anything like that?
I haven't tried that, Julian, in my 31 years.
All right.
Might have crossed his mind.
Yeah. No, they don't. Basically, the problem's at the back of my eye. So, like, if you wear, like, you got glasses on there, Carl. So, like, it's your lens, essentially. There's a problem with your lens, but mine is like further back. So there's nothing looking. They do like injections and stuff, which I don't fancy, and I don't think they're particularly successful.
I don't know how heroin would help. But...
my father-in-law's got a degenerative eye disease. He's older now, but it's sadly it is a deteriorating thing. But he goes for, I don't know if it's monthly or quarterly, injections in his eyes. They put a needle through his eyeball.
So he will have the macula.
That to me is like fucking that. I'm not squeamish at all. I can handle injections. Dentists don't bother me. Nothing like physical really bothers me if it's being done to me. But the thought of having, even though I've had laser eye surgery, the thought of having a needle in my eye and being able to feel it makes me feel uncomfortable.
I could not do any medical procedures. If I get anything, I just will let it just die. Yeah.
Just I'm not having a paracetamol.
That's like Julian, you're a bit like that. When we talked about STI checks.
Well, STI checks, yeah.
They talked about the old days when you had to put the thing down.
They can all shut down.
And you just said you'd rather die of AIDS.
Yeah. So then getting a swab down the end of my penis.
Did you ever have that, Josh?
I've never had it. No, I've just been careful.
I wouldn't mind putting my penis in something. That'd be all right.
How about a check? They didn't do that to me.
Ask a nurse while you're there. See if you can get some arrangement.
Bit of give and take. Come on. Bit of yin and yang.
But yeah, it's weird that I think the eyes definitely are a different. You know, everyone's got a squeamish thing. Some people can't handle getting blood taken, you know, because they can see it in their vein, whatever. But
yeah, I can't do that. I can't do blood.
I don't mind a bit of blood. I don't mind my blood taken, although I do kind of. I do get a little bit anxious.
Yeah,
I don't understand how heroin addicts have just all right with needles.
I mean,
they're brave, man.
They are. Do you know what? It doesn't.
They're the real heroes.
No, but that's a risk reward thing, isn't it? Like, well, it's good. I mean, the reward outweighs the fact that you're a bit scared of needles.
Heaven.
Yeah. But the reward for us should be not dying. You know, going for medical treatment. That should be a reward in itself.
I mean, so can you drive? Can you drive, Josh?
I can't drive now. Not anymore. I can't. I would. But that's the hardest bit, is not being able to drive anymore. But it's also completely unrealistic for me to drive. Do you know what I mean? I would kill someone, man, like instantly.
That's, yeah.
Before I got in the car.
Julian's just a bad driver.
You know? Oh, I do that.
He should be allowed on the roads. Lack of awareness.
Yeah, but eyes is a thing. I think it's because, I don't know if because your eyeball is different. Do you mean it's a different organ to anything else, isn't it?
Just,
you know what I mean?
It feels so much more. I think in parts of your body, I think your eyes and your bollocks just feel so fragile, beautiful, don't they?
Yeah.
They just feel like they're made of softer stuff than the rest of your body.
They're the windows to the soul, aren't they? And the eyes are, and the eyes are as well.
Yeah.
My balls are the windows to my soul.
I'd actually say, out of anyone I know, that would be most correct for you.
Degenerative bollocks.
Julian's got a degenerative eye disease that makes him only watch Pornhub 24 hours a day. But yeah, it's so what age were you when it started?
Well, when I was a kid, really, it started, but it got a lot worse when I was like early 20s.
Right.
So it's quite a hard age for it to happen as well.
Yeah, definitely. At least, I mean, I'd say teens would have been brutal, just being at school. But 20s, that's when you're coming into your prime, I suppose.
At school, man, I couldn't really, got to the point where I couldn't see the board anymore or any textbooks. So I was just fucking about rather than asking for really, what you should do is ask for help or whatever, but I was just...
But you ain't a pussy, you know.
Yeah, exactly, mate. If I want to read,
pussy
I'll read
out. You, I help you, mate. Don't worry about me.
So, but before, I just had an office job before this, and then I've actually gone back to work during lockdown. I've done a few things during. I went to a Royal Mail depot right at the start.
Yeah.
We had to sort letters, but I couldn't read any of the postcodes.
So for any listeners who got the wrong letter during that period of time.
Someone's getting their universal credit checks around your area.
The manager was like, "You're really fast, Josh. You're a lot faster than everyone else." So I was like, "Yeah, man.
I don't know anything."
Because I don't give a shit which pigeonhole the letter goes in.
I'm hitting a lot of targets.
I mean, to be fair, that's hard. I was a postman for 2 weeks. And 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And like the sorting of the mail, man, like coming home late from a gig and being in the sorting officer. I mean, it was the most depressing place I've ever stood in.
Yeah, man.
And I've been to jail, mate. But, but it was like, I was getting it all wrong. I was just so tired.
Yeah. I was working next to one guy, like the manager's there, that spoke to this guy like shit. He was like, I don't know where he was from. I think he was Indian. And, that speaks to like it's a real piece of shit. it turned out this guy was like a surgeon in his country.
Oh, God.
It's like,
the worst. That's one, you know, that always, whenever you hear fucking arseholes like talking about, oh yeah, all these bloody immigrants coming over here and taking our jobs, it's like, they forget that like people are genuinely who flee countries like Syria and stuff come in and then they end up doing shitty jobs.
Yeah.
And that, you know, in their country, they were so advanced and like.
They were prime minister.
Yeah. And they've had to flee.
They're making your bed.
And suddenly somebody's having a go at them for stealing our jobs. And they're like, I should be employing you knob.
Agreed.
But yeah, it's that must be a hard, you know, that's we discussed a lot during the first lockdown about getting jobs. You know, we were like, it's financially, I was looking at a point where I was like, you know, I reckon I can ride this out for a while, you know, just because. For the first time in my life, I had a little bit of savings, and just when I was getting on top of it, everything goes wrong.
Yeah,
but I kept looking at jobs, and then the luxury of being a comedian just ruins your view of work because, like,
oh mate,
you know, imagine going to do a gig and getting paid, you know, even a gig that doesn't pay that well, when you do it in minutes and hours,
$4,000's $4,000, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Agree, man.
So like, it's just it's hard, isn't it? It's that hard thing to.
I did a gig the other day, so I've got this other job now, like a day thing, and I did that all day, and then I went to do a gig at night and got more money for the gig, and it's like, but I'm day one, mate, I was looking, as soon as I got locked down, I was like, I catastrophize, apparently. I'm like, this is wiping out everything. This is humans have
done. But it's not a bad, I'm too much of an optimist. I always think, I was convinced it was going to last about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, I look back now to how naive I was. I was in, like, I flew to Australia just when it was all kicking off. Like, and I was being told, like, other comics weren't flying out because they were like, Melbourne's going to get cancelled. Everything's getting cancelled.
Yeah.
And I was like, shut up. They're going to cancel the Melbourne Comedy Festival. Fucking bit of flu kicking about. And then next round, I land in Australia and 36 hours later, whatever, they cancel everything. And I'm just like, all right, I've got to work.
And could you get back then? Could you get back straight away?
Yeah, me and my wife, we got stuck for a couple of weeks. And then they finally got us on a plane. But I mean, the whole time I was so annoyingly optimistic that it's, but also it's naive because, like, you know, definitely I reckon now I'm a bit beaten down by it. Like, we're not coming out of lockdown in December.
Yeah, I was drafting a will mid-March.
Have you got kids, Josh?
No, mate, no kids. I've got
Who is the will going to be to?
This Patreon, actually.
The comedy.
It's a new thing we're doing. The special tier.
The comedy collective.
Yes, will.
The Live Comedy Association.
I always think about, I've not got a will. I've got life insurance. But
yeah, I took that out recently. You have to promise to not kill yourself in the next 12 months.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I couldn't alter that. You know what I
mean? I've had it for a few years, and it's... I mean, that's just a good thing to add. And also, it does, your premiums tend to stay the same, you know, obviously if you're not unwell or anything, but the amount that pays out goes up each year. It's like a sort of, it rewards you, like, for like, oh, if you die next year, your family get more money, so hold out.
Yeah, man.
It's, yeah, but I've not got...
I've got life insurance, but I've not got a will.
Whose is your life insurance, I presume, go to your...
It actually goes to, I was with somebody at the time, it goes to them, I forgot. It goes to them and their new partner.
They just checked the bank statement one day.
Yeah, fuck you.
I forgot about that. I better not die, mate.
How early into the relationship did she make you take that out, Julian?
Like, just about a week. That's normal though, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
She asked me when we were on Hinge chatting.
What's the you're legally allowed to leave it to anyone, aren't you? You could just leave it to
it
to an old schoolmate that you've not spoken to in 20 years, just
randomly.
Yeah,
you can leave it to charity. You can leave it to Julian Dean. Just saying, but like, you can leave it to anyone. Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
I mean,
people leave it to pets, or, you know, people do it spitefully, will leave it to somebody else, won't they? They'll, you know, rather than give it to their kids or their partner.
The Irish,
My family's Irish, and I've grown up with a lot. I've never known a group of people like the Irish where there's more wills that get contested, because Irish people are, you know, sort of instinctively spiteful. And old Irish parents will just actively, like, they'll have four kids and they'll leave everything to one kid who was the one that they thought deserved it the most.
Yeah.
Like, they don't think of, like, what the fallout of that will be for the four siblings.
That's, you know, bad, isn't it?
I remember I used to work with a guy who lived in Tooting, and his, like, he was sort of, you know, in his 50s, he was single. He was definitely gay, but he'd not, you know, he'd never come out or sort of.
Didn't know you knew my future self.
He was basically from like rural Ireland. And, you know, and I think he was just somebody who just wanted to keep things under wraps. So he just sort of lived like a bit of a monk. But he
that's not me.
All his siblings, like, lived in Ireland. His mum lived in Ireland. He moved to London, started working. He'd send back a bit of money for his mum every month. And but hardly ever visit. He said he didn't have a great relationship with them. His siblings stayed in Ireland, looked after her while she was dying and everything. She dies, leaves everything to him. She was like, well, he was the one who went out and made his own way. He didn't hang around.
Their time was wasted then.
And it caused an absolute ruckus. They contested the will, took him to court and everything. Fucking brutal. Right.
I think it's actually harder to be left a small amount, as silly as it sounds, because it's very obvious what you've used that money for. Do you know what I mean? Like, my my grandma left me, like,
get some new kicks on, nice bright white.
I see what you mean.
Funeral.
My grandma left me like £500, and I've bought a fridge freezer with it.
That's where she resides.
She lives on.
But that's quite nice. At least that's something that's helping you day to day with your existence. You know what I mean? It's not like you spent it on a fucking electric scooter or something.
Electric scooters are good, though.
They are pretty good, actually.
Fridges are pretty important, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get...
My dad left about £6,000, and it just, that was his funeral. Like, it just costs a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to have a good weekend.
I just want to be left somewhere when I go. Just put me somewhere and the council will deal with me eventually.
I think there is something to be said for that. Like,
recycle bin.
I don't really understand. Often people say no, but, you know, people want the funeral for those that are left behind to have a things agreed. But, you know, ultimately that just creates more, everyone's crying together and all that. I think it should be up to the person dying. If you don't want
on
a funeral,
Zoom, I think it should be done on Zoom.
Just put a corpse on one camera.
Save the travel money.
And everyone just gets to say stuff to it. No, but I just think you should be allowed to just go, look, when I die, just incinerate me at the hospital. That gets rid of any hassle of organising a funeral. Let everyone just grieve and get on with it.
Have they got incinerators at hospitals?
They must do. What do you think they do with all the, like, medical waste?
They take it somewhere.
Yeah, what happens? Well, where does it? What happens there? In medical waste must be incinerated, surely.
Don't know what's medical waste, like hands and stuff.
Blood.
Yeah, just loads of just medical
waste. Shit
that's got.
Just tip it down the sink, mate.
I reckon I'm gonna stick my neck out here and say that hospitals have incinerators to the point where I'm actually gonna Google this.
I don't know.
Do hospitals have incinerators? It's a question that has been asked before. Hospital waste incinerators. Here we go. How do
For needles and stuff.
Yeah,
maybe.
All that stuff.
All that nasty shit.
All that good shit. Right. Here we go. I mean, it's really hard to find the answer to this. I just can't.
When you're incorrect.
No.
I reckon there is. There's got to be. Stuff has to be burnt, surely. I've seen it in films.
But I think
it must be true then.
You'd see, when you're at the hospital,
King
you'd see...
Kong in a film.
You'd see smoke and stuff, surely, when you're at the hospital, you'd see...
How many times have you gone to hospital and thought, I'm just going to check on their chimney situation? Tends to be a bit busy.
I'd imagine they do have a kind of way of dispose... I mean... They definitely have a way of disposing of things.
They just fucking chuck them out back.
Bins.
Just lock the door. Mm. When everyone's dead on that ward, just shut the door.
Lock the door. Just go and work in a different ward.
What's your preference for disposing of your body? Like, are you going to be cremated or would you like to be buried?
The burial.
You like a burial?
Yeah, like, I like the bleakness of it. It's a bit of a gangster thing as well, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You haven't seen any gangsters getting cremated.
It's true.
It's graveside, isn't it? Grieving widows.
Yeah. People throwing a handful of dust and dirt on them.
Yeah. Police escort.
I'm not into a graveyard. I like graveyards as places to walk around, but I'm not into
the problem is all the graveyards are all getting taken up, aren't they? Like, they're full up everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which will happen.
I've got no preference. I'm not really bothered about dying, but I'm bothered about aging. That's my obsession. I'm obsessed with
really
getting older. And
what age are you now?
31. So I watch a lot of videos on YouTube, like a band when they're like 18, 19, and then they'll play the festivals when they're like in the 40s. And it just makes me a bit sad. I think, maybe it should make me happy that they're still doing the thing they love.
Yeah. I know what you mean, though, yeah.
But yeah, I would say that, that's something that I think Julian, out of all the people I know, Julian and Benny Boots would be another person I know who, out of my mates, have definitely are not fans of the aging process.
No.
To the point where it can ruin the present if you're not careful.
That's what I mean. That's why it doesn't even bother me at all. I'm a big, I quite like it.
Yeah, I think my dad's looks all right. He's like, you forget your dad's age.
Is it physical? Is that the main thing you're talking about?
Yeah, it's like physically not being able to do what you can do when you're younger and stuff.
That's why it's important to keep fit and do just keep fit, isn't it? Yeah. You play football and that. I mean, you're only 31 anyway, but.
But then also, I think when you exercise, you can literally measure your physical decline.
I know, there is that.
You can literally, I used to be able to do this at this age.
But people exercise and lift heavy weights still up until they're like 60s and things. Like, you can, if you eat right as well, nutrition's a big part, isn't it?
Yeah, but obviously a 60-year-old at their peak even is not going to be as good as a 25-year-old at their peak, are they?
I'm getting testosterone when I'm 60 anyway, just going to inject it four times a day into my arsehole. They'll be like, no, this is meant for the arm. Like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Shut your mouth and stick it up my arm.
You can get this as a tablet, Julian.
This is eye wash.
Oh, God. Have you ever had a suppository?
No, but I'd be delighted to.
Never. I'd rather that than an injection. I'd rather that than intravenous.
What I was surprised by.
Flu jab straight up there.
But when I had, I was in hospital when I was in my early 20s briefly, and I had to have suppositories. What I was really caught off guard by the first time they gave me one.
How pleasurable.
It was just how far up there they put it. Like, it's not. They don't put it in a little bit and let it work its way in.
What size dildo was it?
No, it was like they put it a full finger's length right up. Like, it's
and then
on
you
the tip felt
his hand, both his hands on your shoulders.
No, but they've got to get it as far up as they can. So it's a full finger's length up.
They have.
And they do it very quick, though. It's quite sort of like, get in there and out.
Oh, slow down,
And it's just
I was like, mate, just
slow down, my
time, chief.
Buy me a meal, chief.
And it's just one, though, Carl. It's not a repeated kind of
kissed man's neck.
Well, yeah, no, he had repeated goes just to make sure it was really up there. No, it was it's one and done. They basically line it up, get it just slightly in, and then put their finger there and just go whoop like that.
I have had a suppository, actually. Yeah, I have had one.
It's fine.
And what's the benefit of that? It just gets into your bloodstream quicker.
Well, the pleasure distracts you from whatever's wrong.
I wasn't allowed.
Just takes your mind off of things.
I was Neil by mouth for 4 days. I couldn't have any food or liquids for 4 days. So
and your doctor's name Neil.
Neil by ass.
Neil by mouth. Trevor by ass. Get this party started, Doc.
I was so basically I had to have suppositories. I wasn't allowed to take painkillers orally.
Is that a moral thing, Carl? Is that
Is that religious? Yeah.
What was it? It was just paper. They said, do you want to take these paracetamol or what? I was like, mate, come on. We know what's about to happen.
Patient, you're immediately on all fours as soon as a doctor comes in.
Yeah, so it was not my choice.
Except dicks.
But I've got to say, the first one they did, I was quite when they said they've got to give you a suppository, I was a bit nervous.
Was it a man or a woman that did it?
It was a man. It was a lovely, gay Thai nurse. Oh, it was a lovely chap, and so obviously he would have known what he was doing. So,
man did it with his eyes closed.
Man, he was great.
Bouncy European trance.
I will say he was also quite short. He's probably about 5'3", 5'4". So he didn't have big old sort of fucking claws on him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He made it a very pleasant experience.
And if then I had, like the prostate check we should be having done.
The medical one, not the.
Oh yeah.
Of an evening.
But I'd prefer a woman to do it than a man. Is that weird?
Well, I mean, it's not your decision. It's more the NHS's decision.
Some people request that, though, don't they? Some men.
Anyone who goes into it goes, "No, I want a woman to do it," shouldn't be allowed to make that decision.
That's what I mean.
I think the chaperones are for the staff sometimes.
Exactly.
We've got a fucking geezer out here.
Police escort.
Yeah, I think you're not. A, you shouldn't be.
A security guard.
You know, it should. You can't. Pick. You definitely can't just choose the opposite sex. That's creepy as fuck.
I think you might be able to.
I think if you specified anything, red flags would be. Do you know what I mean?
I agree. Yeah. I think they press a bell and they're like, right, we've got one of these guys.
Yeah.
And you're on the list, mate, for life.
When that bell goes, if you're a member of staff, when that bell goes, you want to be on lunch. You want to make sure you're furthest away from the.
It's brutal, isn't it? I mean, I always wonder about people who, because obviously people choose to specialise in these areas.
It's like gynecologists. I know it's like
I don't trust any bloke who picks gynecology. That you've got to be something. That you've got a part of you guys. You're a fucking creep, man.
Yeah, I seen somebody. It was like a guy on Twitter. He's a comedian, actually. Very pro breastfeeding. Like two pro breastfeeding.
Like chill out, like, bruv.
But I mean, in what capacity is it?
Like, just unprovoked. He's like, you've got. They should be able to do
every
this
day.
In
just as a breastfeed.
Never had a kid in her. They should be able to do that outside my house. Please do it now. Please do it.
But you know, it's like okay.
Even
like,
non-mums. Just get your breast out and have some toast.
It is, because since having a baby, I've become a bit of a sort of evangelist for breastfeeding. Like, you just become so used to it, and you do think it should be done anywhere. And but I'm not tweeting about it. I'm not a fucking weirdo.
Well, that was his issue. Is it in public? It's not got to be. He said you should be allowed to do it in public.
It should be mandatory.
This is not a response to any article or anyone saying you can't do it.
No one asked, mate. He's got this really angry, passionate argument that no one asked. No one's opposing it, Chip. It's all right.
It is definitely it's a generational thing. I don't think I've not seen anyone under 40. Ever have an issue with people breastfeeding in public. It's always that generation of like the people that sort of were of a generation where it was all a bit more, everything was kept behind closed doors essentially.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's as big a, I don't think it's an issue. I genuinely don't. I've not, no one said anything to my wife at all when she's whapping them out in public.
And then she had the baby. What about then? It's a bit more acceptable.
But yeah, I just don't think. I think it's a real non-issue. You always get some knob who ends up on YouTube where somebody's filmed him going, "That should be done. Should be done at home. What are you getting out?" And it's a 75-year-old bloke who's fucking just a knob.
Yeah,
I don't think. Yeah, it's one of them things. You know, when people
only a boob. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Obviously, the opposite is you can't be a creep and just love it to the point of like. Just somebody's in a cafe applauding and going, "I love it, mate. Keep it up."
I went to a breastfeeding lesson, obviously, when I had a baby.
A couple
and
of weeks
guy,
ago.
And the this morning. Just and the guy, I went to a Zoom one and just had my video off. Accidentally left my mic on and got banned. But I went to one and it was a guy taking the lesson. Don't you think that's odd?
That I do think that's odd.
And
that's
he was saying that he gets the baby to practice on his boob.
I mean, that's insane. He needs to sort his shit out, mate. He's not going. I'm not taking any advice off that guy.
Definitely, I did think it was odd.
But because we did, we did NCT classes, and that's where we had a breastfeeding expert do a talk, and she was a lovely lady, and she's so pro. You know, somebody like she was so like. Your baby should not have anything except your breast for the first 6 months exclusively, and then preferably for a year. And like, she's really.
I mean, in an ideal world, but some women find it difficult, don't they?
Definitely, yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, I get her point. This chunk
the
of
the
podcast is mental. Three blokes going, actually, hang on a sec. Let's get this breastfeeding thing sorted, right? But her argument was. Companies that sell formula and that, the big companies, they make it out to be much more difficult than it actually is. And most women, like, it's something like, it's less than like 1% of women physically can't breastfeed. And they say, but it's made out to be a much more difficult process because
they want
people to not. Yeah. So most women with a little bit of, if they went to a lactation consultant, would probably be able to work it out. So that's what she says. I'm quoting. I'm not saying this isn't a bloke going, birds fucking breed your babies.
Come on. Yeah. I think
the first time mums is more difficult, I think, sometimes.
Well, yeah, of course.
But they can get the hang of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If they give me a ring, I'll like, help.
But anything like that, you know, it's just... Where it's like a bloke just in a position where you just sit. Like, remember Gareth Malone, the choir guy?
Yeah.
And he did that military wives thing. I always felt a bit uncomfortable, like, all these women's husbands are at war and you're going to their house to teach them singing.
Yeah.
feels
a bit weird.
Yeah. It is.
I know. There's always an agenda in there. There's always like your fucking suspicion goes up straight away.
Maybe I'm judging people.
A man was helping loads of. Fit widows, yeah, all right, bro. aye, need an apprentice.
That's gonna be our. We'll start a widows support group. Just where we can do Zoom catch ups with them once a week, and then Julian can have his private Zoom messages with them.
Accidentally sent to everyone. Whoops.
But yeah, I do. What we were saying about people in the. It must be a weird thing having to pick a speciality in medicine. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I just do the teeth. I mean, I wouldn't do the teeth because it makes me sick, but dentists get paid coins as well.
They do.
I honestly think you could do.
They pull your teeth out, then drive off in a fucking Merc. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. What was that,
Joe? Torture you like a fucking mafia boss and then drive off in a fucking limo.
I think you could blag it as a GP for a week if you know.
Yeah,
easy.
Antibiotics, every one, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
Bang them out.
Somebody's got a blister on their head. You know, I'll give you some antibiotics, mate.
Yeah. Just refer, isn't it? Just refer on. Just
always say, refer. Or often, yeah.
You're going to need to see a doctor. I mean, a specialist in that.
I've seen a couple of comedians do the routine that is, about. You know, the good doctors now, sometimes when you tell them what you've got and they turn and they basically type it into a database.
Ask Jeeves.
They're just Googling it. So, like,
I've seen my doctor with Google open, I think.
That's fucking... I mean, he might have just been Googling, like, his train times or something.
Yeah, yeah. While I was banging on about my foot.
Halfway through. You just on your third fucking ailment. He's like, God.
You know, you're only allowed two ailments and 15
minutes.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's their big beef, isn't it? It's when you go in with a list of stuff, that's what they don't want.
I pretend that it's just one whole thing. My foot and hand.
Yeah.
My arsehole and eyeball. Yeah.
But I think GP would be the one you could easily blag, but that's, you know, it takes a lot of training, GP. But then, like, you know, do you think the people that pick... the speciality ones that are a bit dirty, like your bumholes and your, you know, things like that. Like, do you reckon they pick it because they know it's going to be less people going for it and it'll be easier to excel at?
Maybe they just like bumholes. But I think that doctors, like, they see it as just meat. They don't see bodies how we see them, do they? Or they couldn't, I mean, open up a brain.
They're still human beings. I don't give a shit how much medical training you've had. Every time you see a bummer, you're still going to think party's going to go, there's a bummer.
I mean, the guy knows, like, yeah. It's
got to be a part of them. They're human. I refuse to believe, unless they're so sort of, you know, like sort of psychotic almost, that they can totally switch off any level.
Maybe the job kind of called them and it was more instinctive and that is where they would, like, excel in, and they were just excellent at vaginas.
Maybe it's just a bit on the course that's most interested them. You know, when you do like your general medicine?
Yeah.
They just that's what just lit up for them, was the arsehole module.
Yeah.
It definitely would be more like...
That was their favourite lesson.
At least you can specialise in
it's
one thing.
It's arsehole Thursdays.
But yeah, at least, I suppose it's... What would you rather be, an expert in one thing or a jack of all trades like a GP?
They're still experts, though, aren't they? They're like... They still had to go round each part of the hospital and learn a little bit of everything.
Maybe it's incentivised in some way. Do you know what I mean? It's like maths and science teachers. That's the one... that we want, that's what we need. Everyone wants to be a PE teacher or a drama teacher. You know, everybody wants to be a dentist or a, you know, an audiologist. We need arsehole people. We need people to come in.
We need a bunch of arseholes.
So you get get a special, like a golden handshake when you sign up to
a brown handshake.
Golden shower.
A brown finger shake.
Yeah, it's, maybe if any medical professionals listen, which I'm
sorry
if you are,
to insult
if you're
any
gynos, I'm sorry.
That
I'm sorry for the last 10 minutes if you're a medical professional, but let us know.
Went into it with noble intentions, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, we are just.
Explain to me though.
But again, like if day one, you know, your medical school, you're asking about, you know, when do we get onto the arse?
That's
like, okay.
You're not allowed on the gynecology course if day one.
Those who are too keen for it shouldn't be allowed it.
Totally.
It should be bestowed. Greatness should be bestowed upon people.
It's like, that's what they say about leaders, isn't it? Prime ministers and stuff.
Some are born great, some achieve greatness.
Anyone who wants to be prime minister shouldn't be allowed to be prime minister.
Some of us achieve greatness.
Us. Let's not chuck that word around there, mate. So you've gone back to, what was your job you said you've gone back to now? You've got another day job.
Ironically, it's helping people get jobs. People come in that have been made redundant and stuff.
I'll speak to you soon then.
Yeah. That's what we've actually brought you here for this reason.
Where have you been doing that in green rooms?
On the forums, man.
Is that your new office, the Glee green room?
So, in what, for the job centre, essentially?
Well, it's like we're in like an independent thing through the council. So the people get sent from the job centre. We do the CVs and that, and it's all right. It's kind of nice to meet people and stuff, but it's also a bit bleak. You know, you're getting like people have been engineers for 40 years and they're like, oh,
having
I'm
to retrain as comedians.
Yeah.
As gynos.
Yeah. But we actually had somebody in the other day who was like a lighting technician for like Jason Derulo, and not just him, it was like a company.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, there's nothing you can really do at the minute.
It's brutal, isn't it?
Yeah. Wow. You don't forget about those guys, but I think sometimes as comedians we think it's only us.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think also, but you forget the scale of what's happening and how many industries are gutted and ruined. And like, I had a bit of a, not an argument, as again, like, but I did a Zoom quiz with my mates on Saturday night, my old sort of like schoolmates and that, and you just forget like how different people see the world based on your sort of scenario, I suppose. Like we were talking about this second lockdown and I sort of said, I think it's a bit, you know, I think there'd be a better way of doing it. I don't think you need to lock everything down fully, you know. I do think it's, you need to have better systems in place, and then lockdowns aren't really necessary. And then, you know, sort of a couple of them were very pro lockdown. I'm like, you know, because they've had people from work die from it and stuff, and like, so they've got different experiences. And I was like, you know, that's sad, but it's not, you know, I'm trying to be objective and see a bigger picture about other people dying from suicide and, you know, treatments they haven't got because the hospitals aren't doing non-essential stuff. And like I was saying, that on a big scale, it's bigger than just coronavirus.
Definitely.
And like, you know, I think people forget that because it's such an emotive issue.
The problem is the government get blamed for COVID deaths, don't they, when they're high. The other deaths, that's the article I read. It might have been a bit...
I've seen a thing on the
right wing, I don't know.
I seen a thing on the telly this morning about the travelling fares haven't been out. Industry's been wiped out. They haven't been out to work since March.
Yeah, they've got to go back to stealing and stuff, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tarmac in driveways. Yeah. Not really travellers. Not really.
But yeah, it's like, you know, it's but everything, there's so many different industries, so many different jobs, so many different, everything, like, you know, I think it's very simplistic just for people to go like, you know, it's just about the coronavirus. It's sort of, it's not to get serious.
Suicide rate's gone up, hasn't it? It's domestic. Massive, isn't it? It's good the schools are open because there was a lot of kids kind of, you know, that went up as well, that kind of thing. And, but yeah. I mean, COVID, I don't know, it's a little bit worrying, isn't it?
Well, it is, because it's a new thing that's like doing.
It's worth keeping an eye on, definitely.
I do think we need to just, you know, let's not forget about it. But I do, yeah, but I think, you know, having, it's got to come a point where people get a bit more objective about it, you know what I mean? Otherwise, we're just going to keep having the same fucking... shut down for a bit, open up, shut down everything. Everyone will just be brassic and fine.
Well, until there's a vaccine or there's herd immunity, but
yeah,
you need like 3/4 of the population to have it and to have herd immunity. That's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah. I know
it's at least 600.
There was something I read that said there's no example in recent history of herd immunity ever happening without a vaccine. Things don't transfer to that level just on normal.
How did the London the Black Plague finish? Well, everyone died.
That was just literally everyone died. Was and then it just went away. So like,
the Fire of London helped that, didn't it? Apparently,
it,
maybe that's what we need.
Should we set fire to the fucking whole city?
Get all the doctors, the top surgeons in the world, just tipping petrol all over the place.
But yeah, let's not even talk about it too much.
At least it's not the plague. At least, I mean, that's serious.
I think initially
your nose could be falling off and dying horribly.
I tried doing a bit of stand up about this, about like at least it is lung. You know, if it was bowel, it'd be a completely different pandemic.
Yeah.
Like the whole situation is if it's like a sickness and diarrhea thing. The whole, you know, it's a completely different setup.
It's it would be. I'd argue people would stay at home a lot more.
N95 pants and stuff like that.
N95 nappies, mate. That's what we'd be doing. Then all the anti-maskers would be. They call them face nappies, don't they? All the people that you see in Trafalgar Square with their signs. I'm not wearing a face nappy.
Where do they get the energy from? Fucking hell.
I know, man.
Who cares?
There is that. It's
fucking
It must be like, even if like I don't know. Even if I did believe it was all a conspiracy, and I don't think I'd have the fucking energy to go on about it online like something.
I know.
No.
Have you got any friends or anything, Josh, that are, like have gone down that rabbit hole during lockdown?
No, I think it's. I had to stay off social media at the start of it because, you know, nobody knows. I don't know. Nobody knows. So I'd just rather err on the side of caution.
Yes.
And just wait and see what happens. But I'm suspicious of anybody that's so certain.
We're all presented
with similar evidence, but yet some people are so certain that it's this way.
Oh. I know. And it's the conspiracy theorists always know, don't they? And it's like,
But there's not even been any good... There's not even been any good conspiracy theories with this.
No.
Do you mean there's nothing interesting other than the government are trying to control us. It's nothing like, you know.
There is, I mean, the Bill Gates wanting to put microchips in people is quite funny. That's you know.
Yeah.
It's a nerd who's a billionaire and now is trying to, you know, he's got a few.
Like a Bond villain or something.
Yeah, they think he's genuinely like, for what purpose? I don't really.
To evil.
Yeah. I mean, we've all got We've all got iPhones. People can find out where we are anyway if they needed to.
Exactly. That's the thing I always find fascinating. They're all posting it on their social media things that monitors every mood and every opinion they share. And they're telling you, fuck, you know, you're a sheep, mate, for believing the mainstream.
Typing into their iPhone with location on, you know what I mean?
Sharing their location. I'm at Trafalgar Square. Nappy. And you're just like, oh, mate, come on. Have a look. Have a fucking look at yourself. But it's going to be more of it. I reckon we're going to have a real spicy November on social media.
Yeah. I think also at the start of it, nobody was really themselves. Everybody was a different version of themselves, more angry or more...
Yeah.
Especially when people's livelihoods are at like risk. People, you know...
I know, just, it is...
It's like... the miners' strike and stuff. Some people are just completely different opinions but could be in the same family.
Kids strike today. I just thought I'd put that there.
Ben Elton's in the house, guys. Fucking hell, mate.
They refused to go to school, did they, all the miners?
What have you two been doing comedy-wise when in full
I'm on strike. I went on strike, fucking, yeah.
Yeah.
In 2014.
boycotting clubs that don't book me. I refuse to do them.
Well, because we had a bit of, you know, I've got mates up in Scotland who I feel so bad for, like comedians who just haven't been at a gig since March, yeah, whatever. But all the London clubs were open.
Between lockdowns, there was a lovely
Between August and the end of September. End of October, it was fucking wicked. Like we had loads, all London gigs were open, and like it was just weird. Not all of them, like some of the big clubs at the Comedy Store and that hadn't because
they got their £1 million payout.
Well, there's also until that came in though, I think it was just the cost of turning it into a COVID safe environment. Like they worked out outweighed the, you know, because obviously the staff are furloughed and that it made sense to just sort of. Just try and ride it out, but like,
yeah,
but there was shit loads of gigs. So like, I got to a point, I reckon, in October where I was gigging as often as I was pre-lockdown.
Yeah, and the gigs were nice because it was like no big groups, people that really wanted to see comedy.
Yeah,
I've had a few nice Zoom ones as well. It took me a while to get into it, but the Zoom ones were lovely.
Yeah,
I don't mind them now. The Zoom, I was a bit hesitant at the start.
I think, yeah, it's fine. It's once they worked out how to make it fun, you know, to be able to hear people and, like, you know, just things like that made it. I did some of the early ones back in like April when they were just brutal.
You couldn't
see anyone. Everyone's cameras were off. You could just see loads of names. You're just talking into the abyss.
You're doing your set. You're doing your old set.
Just to silence.
Oh, and then you're pausing, like, because on stage you pause a bit, you feel it. On Zoom, it's different, isn't it?
Yeah.
I used to mute it and cover the screen, like, with Google and just as if I'm on my own in my room.
Just Googling, chatting away to yourself.
Basically what I did, but the last few I've done, I've just done it like a normal human being.
Yeah.
And it was never really fun, man.
Yeah, I think...
Book me.
Yeah.
Hashtag book me. No,
really. What are you saying, Josh?
Yeah, the Zoom, I don't know. There's something about the Zoom ones. It feels a bit of an intrusion into your, you know.
There is that. There's something like having a bad Zoom gig is worse than a bad normal gig. Because like a bad normal gig, you can then go outside and get some air. And then on the way home, you can contextualize it. Having a bad Zoom gig, you've had it where you live. It's like,
I don't want to
go to bed with that shitty energy in your room.
Yeah. But that's it. Yeah, you just like... Yeah,
you need some air freshener.
Yeah. And also, my Wi-Fi isn't great. So my wife have to say, you can't watch TV while I'm doing this.
Right.
And then so she's like...
She's just got to listen to you bombing in another room.
Yeah. Come back in, I can stick it back on now.
Oh, fuck. That's brutal. Yeah, she's just the other side of your laptop, just watching you die.
Comes in with some sage and just sages the room.
brings a priest in.
Lights a candle.
It's a fucking exorcism.
It's fine, yes. But to be honest, most of them have been nice. I was lucky. I only did one where it was... I did two where it was total silence. Like they'd muted everyone. You couldn't see anything. And it was just, I found them hard. But once they let people you could hear people, like it was fine. And then I did one where that was a bit uncontrolled and you could just hear too many noises and things like.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think they're working on now.
I find it, I mean, God bless the audience for coming to Dumbuck. I mean, you know, you switch on and there's like a couple sat down at the laptop to watch. Just, like, what are you doing? Like, yeah. There's anything else on than
just
this.
Just rip apart their sofa.
The state of that artwork above your sofas.
What the fuck is that, bro?
But I do think we forget sometimes. It's hard for us to realise that, like, comedy fans who love comedy, like, you know, they love comedy, and if they go to live comedy regularly, you know, it is, I suppose, a little fix just seeing some live entertainment, even though it's in your room. Because yeah. I'm way too critical. Initially, I was like, who the fuck's coming to this bullshit? You know, like, yeah. I couldn't get my head around anyone who would go to a Zoom gig or watch a Zoom gig. But then actually, when you put it, you just take yourself out of it, and the fact that you're thinking of it from a performer's perspective, like, you realise, oh, it's nice, they're getting to see a live thing that's actually probably slightly interesting for them because it's bespoke. It feels like it's in their house almost.
And it's interactive as well. It can be a lot of the time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, I've...
Sometimes they fall over and things.
The iPad 1's given up on that.
Oh, hello. My neighbours have just got a Deliveroo. I could tell they were getting shit-faced last night. There was a lot of music playing.
I wonder what food they got. Good hangover. What's good hangover food, like Indian?
I
mean,
I don't know what they get. Like, they love an afternoon Deliveroo when they've had a night on the sauce.
Oh yeah, we don't have delivery where I live. It's too rural. It's too much of a cycle for.
What about
cycle up from Greater London?
Coventry is a 2.5 hour ride.
Yeah,
Spaniard gets there. Looks like he's on the Tour de France.
You'll get Bradley Higgins.
We used to have takeaways where you order it and then they put the takeaway in a taxi and you pay for the taxi.
God, quality.
Yeah, it's.
So what have you got?
£9 for a chicken curry.
The taxi driver's got no customers. Like, you're hailing it over and it's just, sorry, mate, give me this chicken korma a lift.
Have you got any delivery takeaways in the area?
Yeah, we've got, there's plenty.
Oh, right. But they're old school deliveries where they do it themselves.
Yeah, you phone them up and, you know, they come out.
The guy's
out and
son brings it over.
Yeah, that's it.
Seasons it for you.
It's funny when you have you ever had you? I've had that before, like before Deliveroo and that, where you had the delivery driver shows up and you're like, I don't think you're a normal delivery driver. I reckon delivery driver's sick, and you're like the guy's mate. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's like a 45-year-old sort of like just white bloke, and you're like,
what? That's the other thing with like people having to get different jobs. I had like a moon pig. Like delivery, and it was like
dressed as a policeman.
It's like the biggest like road man ever.
Oh, really?
Bringing a bunch of flowers. Like, hope you have a very nice day and all this.
Drug dealers.
These flowers for you.
Retrain.
Yeah.
I'm going to come to the alleyway, do the switch, yeah? I'm meeting the plug at 4.
I tried to do a routine about it, but I think the problem I had was people thought I was saying something that was racially dubious, whereas actually I was talking about a certain type. I was basically talking about, well, it's funny when you, have you ever been on like you phoned a utility company or something like for your phone bill, your gas, and basically it's a rude boy in the call centre. The sort of routine was about how funny it is when you meet like a rude boy who's got a job, but they really struggle to not sound like they're just like on the street.
Gonna get a job in it. Gonna get a job, man. Pay my way in it.
But because they always overcompensate. I remember I think it was EE. So I was like, I used to
my baby
EE sometimes, and it'd be like, yes, Mr. Donnelly, what can I do for you today? I was like,
my G, you wanna upgrade your broadband, blood?
And you'd just be like, every day, always say, yes, I can totally help you with that, Mr. Donnelly.
I had a guy with EE not long back, and you know what? The processing the stuff on the computer, he's talking to me, like making conversation. He starts telling me about all his white collar fights he has, and he's like, get me up on YouTube. I was like, I'm not. He made me like watch, his white collar, and he was good. He was decent, to be fair, but yeah. But have you ever seen Phone Shop? You ever watch Phone Shop?
Yeah, little bits. I never watched the full thing though.
It's a bit of that kind of situation.
We'll be doing it soon, and just get my stand-up up on YouTube. It's just me upgrading somebody. This one. Let's just watch it.
Yeah, I'll sort you out a 24-month contract all in minutes. But before that, have a watch of this. Just meet at the Glee Club in Birmingham in December.
It's my YouTube special.
At work the other day, I've been there, started beginning of September, and they've just found out, this was the first person's found out this week that I did comedy, so it's just going to...
They've all seen you gigging that, but...
Oh, that's what that was.
I mean, it was a corporate show.
That's bad though, isn't it? I remember when I first was doing sort of like, I went full time in comedy in 2007, and then I was too soon. I'd only been doing it 2 years, and like I'd sort of just thought I'm gonna try and make a living. And then after about 6 months or something,
you needed something to eat.
Well, I just realised I was making, you know, I was still living in London, so cost of living was quite high, and you know, I was just about scraping by each month, and I was seeing how hard it was. I thought what I'll do is get a couple of months of temping, and then with that extra money, I can put that away, and like, you know, and basically the manager of the department I worked in found out I was a stand-up, and he was such a sort of David Brent type. And he made it, it was just hell. Every single thing he said, it'd just be like, "Oh, mate, Carl, mate, you can do that in one of your stand-up sets." I was like, "Oh, I fucking want to kill you, mate."
I kept it a real secret for like the whole time I was in my job. Just didn't want to tell. I told like one person.
Yeah,
people don't know how to chat to, people don't know how to talk about it without making it a thing.
I felt weird for trying it a little bit. I just felt weird, like they're gonna, what, you think you're funny? Or like, I mean, I obviously was in the office, but you know, it's like, yeah, I just felt like odd for doing it.
Yeah,
when I was in a band, I used to hate carrying my guitar. Like, yeah. I used to hold it out, yeah, as if it's not mine.
What were you gonna say, Josh?
Insecure, sorry, Josh.
Yeah, no, there's just no way of presenting it, is there? There's just no way. Like, people keep asking, what were you doing before this? Because obviously I was new. I was like, I was freelancing, yeah, just freelancing, and just leave me there.
But that's also, I think, because people who don't understand it, that we've got a massive comedy scene in this country, like the club circuit and all that stuff. People think, if you say you're a stand-up, they don't understand that there's, they think there's only John Bishop and like Romesh and the sort of superstars. Mm. And anyone below that is basically just some wannabe who's desperately trying to get to that. They don't realise you can be a professional comedian.
Yeah.
They don't know we're millionaires, do you know what I mean?
You say it on a chair you've covered with a fucking blanket.
In my Tinder profile.
And like, they ask, like, you know, so I've got a gig at the weekend. They're like, oh, how was it? As if, like, that was your make or break. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We don't expect to see you on Monday.
Yeah, see, I did it. And, yeah, I've just been given my own TV show. I've just seen the time. We've got to wrap up. We've been banged on for ages. I didn't see this. Didn't realise how long we've been talking.
Mostly arseholes. We did get
mired down in all the arsehole chats. Thanks for coming on, Josh. People can find you online. Your Twitter's very funny. So people should follow you on there.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
What is
Josh Pugh Comic.
Josh Pugh Comic.
Pugh is P-U-G-H.
That's it, Julian.
Just fun letting you know, Josh.
Not like a church pew, which is, church pew would be P-E-W, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I think that's just going to confuse people now.
I know, yeah, it's the other pew, P-U-G-H. But people should find you there, and obviously when gigs start up again, people can see you live somewhere. Julian, any other business?
Follow us on Patreon. We've just dropped a single of released... house tune,
and yeah, we do extra bits. There's like the videos of us doing bits and bobs during the week.
So name comics that we've been speaking about.
You do, Julian names comics that we've bleeped out. So that's get on Patreon and find us slagging off people. that's it, Josh Pugh. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you when things open up again.
You actually changing the podcast.
Oh, I think you died of AIDS in an alleyway. I'm alright, bro.